Welcome back, listeners. On this episode, I spoke to repeat guest and costume designer Mitchell Travers about his work on George and Tammy. Travers is a two-time CDG award nominee for Hustlers and In the Heights.
I wanted to start out by asking, what's inspiring you right now?
In general?
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm designing a series that takes place in the future. And I'm doing, I know, right? I've been talking about it for long enough.
That's the dream job that you said back on the last episode.
So I got it. I've like manifested my way into it. So right now I'm really into green textiles. And I'm really into knitwear. Really, really. It's like a whole new universe for me to get into. I mean, I've obviously like I've worked with fabric my whole career, but knitting is like a whole other beast, and so I'm like obsessed with it, and I'm like up at night thinking about it right now.
So the guest question comes from a colleague of yours and the Academy Award winning Linda Dowd,
who I
and
love.
Yes, and she said the same to me for you. She would like to know, how many vendors, cities, and sources do you approximate you called from to find the amazing costumes worn on the show, George and Tammy?
Wow, good question, Ms. Dowds. I love her. Great question. I canvassed the Southern US for clothes for this show. And I mean, I was like everywhere. I did tons. I mean, I did like Atlanta. I did parts of Texas, not Dallas, but I did parts of Texas. I did Louisiana, Atlanta, or Georgia, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Boston, Los Angeles, New York, Illinois, Chicago. I mean, like truly just everywhere. And it was great fun because my assistant and I, we basically did like a road trip, buying trip. So we would be in the car driving around to all of these different vendors, like estate sales, vendors, thrift stores, just like the most insane places. And we would listen to all of these like old school country podcasts or like classic country albums in the car. So it was like equal parts discovery and research kind of happening all at the same time. It was brilliant. It was a great way to do this project.
And this was shot, let's see, we're in 2022 and 2021.
Yep, yeah. A year ago. Okay.
And so COVID was still rolling around, and so that must have made the job difficult, correct?
We were masked, gloved, you know, Purell in the car after every stop. That is how we got this done. For a large part of it too, I felt like I was like on defense for COVID, and it just like kept getting closer and closer and closer. Like I had a pretty sizable team on this, and of course, like any group of human beings, we were affected by COVID, and it just like kept coming closer to me as we went. So by the end, I was like in two masks, trying not to have conversations indoors with people. I was like eating by myself because it was such a big job that like I didn't have, you know, the 5 to 9 days to go down. And luckily I made it through the entire shoot without catching COVID. Mm. It was a feat.
Yes, I still have not caught COVID to my knowledge, and knock on wood. So I feel like I'm one of the few. But I feel like I am also just on defense all the time. But at some point I'm just like, when am I going to get this? Because I'm ready to get it over with at this point.
It's not as bad as you think it will be.
No. You are obviously known now for two Tammys.
Yes.
And which Tammy is your favorite and why?
Oh, you're going to make me pick?
Yeah.
You know, I think I'll always have a soft spot for Tammy Faye Baker because I just think that there is something about like being a young gay person and having, you know, that surreal life exposure to her. That I just like, I had a soft spot for her. And then I grew up and became a costume designer and this opportunity came up, and it of course like started a friendship with Jessica that I love. And I think that was like really sort of where I started the period work that I really enjoyed in my career. So I can't believe you're gonna make me pick, but if I had to, I would say Tammy, because it was like, it was the beginning of the Tammys. So I have to give her some respect for that. Baker.
Yes. But now we need to find the next Tammy. I'm kidding. But
everyone talks about this, and Jessica and I have even talked about it too. We're like, you know, is there another Tammy that is that has like a life that's got a big story like this? I don't know that we've found one yet.
It's out there.
Open to ideas.
Open to ideas. Yeah. Speaking of Miss Jessica Chastain, you've spoken about this friendship that you have with her, but as a collaborator, can you dive into that, and especially in sort of like this rocket ship, like 2 years for her, I feel like has just, I mean, she's, I feel like in everything, or she's on every award cycle or press cycle, and it's just, you can't miss her. And it's like, now she's going to be on Broadway next year. And it's like, her star just continues to rise. But can you just talk about her as a collaborator?
Absolutely. I think the thing to first acknowledge, though, is this is also the way she came onto the scene, right? She came out with, what was it, like 3 movies back to back to back that were these like heavy hitter awards, press cycle type films. So I think it's just par for the course for her. This is very much the way that she works. And I think she's one of the best when it comes to reading a script and understanding the possibilities that come from it. Like, she's got a great instinct for projects, and I think her track record speaks to that. As a collaborator, she is just awesome. I mean, she surrounds herself with people that she trusts. And once you have that trust with her, she just really allows you to do your best work. And, you know, she works really hard, and everyone around her works really hard. And so I think it cultivates this culture of, you know, we all want to be operating at a high level. And we also really like the collaboration that comes with it, like getting to work with Linda Dowds and Stephanie Ingram, who have worked with her for years. So there's like there's a built-in way to communicate about the ideas that we want, or, you know, we'll pass information that we get. Like, maybe she sat down for a session with Stephanie and they had a conversation, and then Stephanie will clue Linda and myself into the kind of conversations that were had. So we're really, really all going for the same goals, or trying to communicate the same thing that Jessica wants to as the character. So I feel like it's just this really nice back and forth that we've all found over the years to understand, like, you know, what do we want this character to feel like in this scene? And we all do, you know, we all pull our little strings to make that happen. So it's one of those things, like, you hear the word collaboration a lot when it comes to filmmaking, but this is collaboration like in practice. It's not just a press tour soundbite. It's genuine collaboration from the time we go into work till the time we get home.
Mm. And tell me where you were the night she won her Oscar.
We were on set.
Oh, that's right. You were.
We were on set for the nomination, which was like crazy. And weirdly, that day we were shooting this sequence for Tammy Wynette where she was jumping up and down on a trampoline. So I was just like, how amazing is it that the day that you receive the news that you've been nominated for an Oscar, your job is to bounce on a trampoline? It's like perfect, right? So that was a really great day. And then, of course, when she won the Oscar, I knew she would win the Oscar. I knew she would get nominated, and I knew she would win. But I was, of course, home. We had like home on location, but we had like a small little Oscar party. So all of us were there, like, you know, fingers crossed, waiting to see her win. And it was just like, it was the best. And then she came back to us in Wilmington and we had a big welcome back for her. This was great. Her day back onto the set, she was doing this scene where she's sort of like backstage at a concert venue. So I knew what was happening, but she didn't. So we got dressed and we walked over to set and it was really quiet. And she was like, why is it so quiet? And I didn't say anything. We just kept walking. And of course she walked in and they had a big cake and everyone, you know, was celebrating her Academy Award. And it was really, it was an awesome welcome back.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Talk to me about color and what did you learn about color on this particular show? Because I found the colors to be, I mean, as a quote unquote Southerner, I've seen this growing up, like the bright yellows, the bright greens, the bright reds. But what did you learn about color on this particular project?
Well, it was a real opportunity to use color in a way that you don't get to typically. So we started in the late 60s and we go all the way through the 90s. But for that late 60s, early 70s period, that's really when you start to see chemical dyes really come into play for clothing. Before that, you're largely dealing with like natural dyes, natural colors. But this late 60s, early 70s introduces these like hyper colors that are only really achieved through this like brand new chemical process in clothing. So it was really fun to be able to look at lime green and say like, yeah, that's camera ready. You know, how often do we get to do that? And then the color combinations, I really blame George Jones for the color combinations because he had such a specific style and loved color and loved coordination to a degree that gave me like the ultimate freedom as a costume designer. So, you know, all of a sudden I got to pair like, you know, pale blues with neon orange. And for George Jones, that was a match. Or, you know, neon green and bright, bright yellow and brown. That's a match. And so it's these odd little color combinations, khaki and red. It's these odd little color combinations that were so prevalent in the period, but often aren't done in movies because I feel like either the designer is shy about color or the director is shy about color or the cast doesn't really want to go that far. But on this, I was really supported by my cast and by our director to really go for the truth of what the period looked like, because it's like, it's fabulous. The more you dive into it, it's wonderful. I would love it if color came back in that way now. I'd love to see it.
I can't say I want a lot of color. I like my blacks, so I don't know how I would adjust to that transition, but I'm all for a renaissance. Why not? Let's do it. Who do you think is today's George and Tammy? Or do you think there even is a George and Tammy out there?
Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Absolutely. I think there is like, they understand the power of appearance. I think they understand the power of a couple in entertainment. I think they understand the magnetism of visible love. Yeah, it's definitely Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox, for sure.
The song Stand By Your Man has been stuck in my head since the ending of episode 2. And I'm curious if any of their songs were stuck in your head or are still stuck in your head. Obviously, you've been removed from the project for a bit now, but.
Yeah, it's one of those things, right? Like everybody wants, you know, when you come in for a fitting, like everyone wants to play George and Tammy in the fitting room to kind of get you in the mood. So at a certain moment, I had to be like, okay, we have listened to George and Tammy so much that I could recite, you know, lyric for lyric, the songs. But the cool thing that happened is we went from this period of like constant loop of George and Tammy's albums. And then we had like a little pause. And then the next time we started to hear it was on set when we were watching these performances. So it was just extraordinary to go to work every day and and basically get a free concert from, you know, Michael Shannon and Jessica Chastain. It's not a bad job, you know. But if I had to isolate a song that I listened to the most or I connected with the most, I mean, Help Me Make It Through the Night is incredible, and getting to watch her perform that was incredible. He Stopped Loving Her Today, like that was one of those like full body chills moments on set where you could just feel that the crew kind of understood the importance of that performance from Michael. And I mean, you know, we shot in Wilmington, North Carolina. So there were George Jones fans behind camera, holding boom mics, you know, holding garment bags. Like these were George Jones fans who made this. And so there was a lot of pressure for that song in particular, and for Stand By Your Man as well. So, you know, it's a friendly audience, but I think for Michael and Jessica, they knew like, we're listening, you know? And watching Michael finish the first take, we did it all in one take, watching him finish He Stopped Loving Her Today, I mean, the whole crew was like, tears rolling down their face. It's one of those like extraordinary movie making moments where you just feel like I was in the room when that happened.
Mm. And I hate asking this, but I've asked you this before. What do you take away from this particular project?
I really loved discovering what the American South looked and felt like in the 60s and 70s. I feel like there are so many stereotypes of the American South that have been, you know, hammered home, gingham, plaid, cowboy hats. Like, I think that there, for me, it was a really wonderful exploration of the spread of what American country looked and felt like. I mean, so much of the 60s aesthetic is defined by the British invasion and the space race. And I think that those are the real lasting contributions to style, you know, short little mod dresses, go-go boots, things like that. Those are really, you know, ideas that came from the UK. So it was really fun to look into what was America doing in the 60s that wasn't really defined by, you know, an embrace of another style, but what was America doing in the 60s? And there were gorgeous prints coming out. There was a core group of some incredible designers, American designers in the 60s and early 70s, before it got into the pointed collars and the plaid pants and everything that we've come to know from the mid to late 70s. But it was this really like, joyous period where men were really taking fashion risks, and the color was really, you know, to a whole new level. So for me, that was really fun to get to explore that, and really menswear. Like, I was looking at some things that these, like, you know, American Southern men were doing in the 60s, and I'm like, they're in 3-inch heels and jewelry and you know, matching sets and stuff. I'm like, I love the freedom that came with menswear of the time. And I'm sad that it went away for 30 years. I'm glad it's back, but everything we're doing right now, it's not a new idea. It's just we've done this before.
Recycled.
Arguably better in the 60s.
You have two hotly anticipated movies coming out next year. I mean, I hope they come out next year. One being Shotgun Wedding.
Yes.
And I would love to hear just what we can expect, because that's coming out much sooner. Right. What was it like working with Miss Jennifer Coolidge?
Coolidge is everything that you expect her to be, but there's like such a warmth from her that I loved. I mean, she immediately makes you feel like you've known her forever. And she's so much funnier than you expect her to be in real life. You know, there's like an element to her that you think like, oh, well, that must be like, you know, the Coolidge character for the camera. But it's just so genuine, and so her humor is so intellectual to a level that you don't see coming. Like, you know, she'll crack jokes that you're laughing about by yourself at the end of the day. Like, you realize how funny what she said or did was. And her wit is so much faster than her audience, right? Like, once she gets the room going, and she definitely gets the room going, but once she gets the room going, it's just kind of this like rolling laugh that just keeps coming. Like she's a brilliant entertainer on and off camera. She's the best.
And what else from Shotgun Wedding can you tease out?
Oh, I really like Shotgun. I mean, it was, I think if getting to see Jennifer Lopez run through a jungle in a wedding dress is like, you know, it's like the ultimate like music video fantasy image. So being the one responsible for the creation of a Jennifer Lopez wedding dress is like no small task, right? From a costume perspective, it was really fun to get to design two sides of the aisle, right? There's like Josh Duhamel's family, which is sort of American, square state, blue collar, nurses, teachers, firemen types. And then on the other side of the aisle was Jennifer's family. So, I mean, when you have Sonia Braga and Cheech Marin as the parents, like really gives you an opportunity to design. So that was really fun. And of course, getting to shoot, you know, in the jungles of the Dominican, it was one of those like memory movies, you know, you go for the experience. It's really fun. I've seen a cut of the movie and it's really fun. Like if, you know, if you want to go see this ensemble cast in a wedding movie with some unexpected elements, I think you're going to be really happy.
And then I think already one of my most anticipated films of hopefully next year, Mother's Instinct.
Yes. Yes.
What can you say?
Can you believe? I mean, truly, and this is something that I said to both Jess and Annie, is I was like, this is like gay popcorn. Like, we want this, you know? So, yeah, I mean, just getting to dress both women in such a beautiful period that we're really early 60s there, like sort of end of 50s into early 60s. I mean, it's just like, they were like dolls to dress, you know? I mean, so much fun. And there's a real darkness to the project for anybody who's seen the original film. It's a bumpy ride, and getting to watch these two women go for it every day. I mean, this was it's so hard. There's so many things I want to tell you, but I don't think I can yet. It's what we want it to be.
That's all I wanted to hear. That's all I wanted to hear. No, when the first sort of Just Jared images or whatever they're called came out, I was just like, holy shit. And then when I saw that it was you designing it, I was like, holy shit. And so I am so excited. I'm so excited. And in our final 2 minutes, I have to ask this question, since you manifested one thing already. What do you want to tackle next?
Oh, I want to tackle menswear. It's the next frontier for me.
Menswear.
That's not suit and tie menswear, although I would do that happily. I want to do like style icons, like a Bowie, like an Elton John, like a George Jones was kind of what got me started on this whole idea. You know, I think Catherine Martin just did an undeniably good job with Elvis. So it's menswear in that sense, where it's like playful, fashion forward, style icon sort of men.
Mitchell, this has been a pleasure.
Always.
An absolute pleasure. And thank you for everything, as always. And I can't wait to chat again, whenever that is.
Until we meet again.
Thank you all for listening. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jackson Vickery. Graphics were done by Dylan Michael. And the opening and closing theme were done by Sterling Gavinsky.